Hello, Knoxville. You are listening to Sister Janice on the Sunday Drive. Thank you so much for riding along with us this Sunday. I hope you enjoy the wonderful gospel music we have for you. So sit back, relax, not too much. Put on those seatbelts and get ready for your ride on the Sunday Drive on WITA 1490 AM.
Everyone say all that.
Good afternoon, Sunday Drive Talk.
I'm Dr. Butler, and I am excited to talk to you today on a new rendition of the Sunday Drive Talk. We have a very interesting topic for today, so get ready. Today is going to be a question and answer day. We have been inundated with many, many contacts about the Florida shooting recently. In Florida, there was a school shooting. It was really, really bad. And people were concerned about what to do, what was going on, what happened. And this is pretty bad. And so we want to have much topic and much discussion about this. So I'm hoping that you guys will be able to be responsive, and we want to give you a chance, especially in our studio audience, to be able to share in and partake in the conversation of today. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Schools are normally places where we think of as positive institutions of learning, where our young and old will be able to go and avail themselves of education. In the United States, we have many varieties of education, include partially funded. We have some that are free public education, and we also have institutes of learning that are for profit only. And in the midst of those, most people don't think that when they're sending, especially their children to school, that they expect them to actually be in a situation where they might find themselves in a war zone. Well, guess what? Recently, we had a situation that occurred that actually resulted in just that actual situation. Well, recently in the state of Florida, a young man decided that he would go up to the school and that he would go and pull the fire alarm, then start shooting at students as they entered into the hallway. After shooting many students, wounding many, and going through a horrendously scary day. There were many, many people who were surrounding the school. The police were called. They were terrified. He went and tried to shoot even more students, and it was a really, really sad time in our nation, also a bad time for those parents who had students in the school. Now, just so that you know, this happened in the afternoon hours. Something occurred where this young man just went haywire and decided he would start shooting at the school, just at random students. And the end result resulted in 17 students being killed and many others that were injured, as well as property damage and all these other things that occurred. It was horrendous and very scary. First of all, I just want to ask some of the studio audience and those that are called in on today, do you guys remember seeing this, and what parts of it actually stood out the most to you? Is there anyone at this time that would like to give some feedback? Also, I do want to remind you guys that if you have some information that you would like to submit, you can shoot your text messages and your replies to 865-306-6362, and I will be more than happy to hear your conversation. We have, with this Florida State shooting, there are very, very many details that go through it. You can look online and find out exactly what happened with the details, and they even have released the photos of the victims as well. So this is important. Okay, a gunman who was around 19 years old, 19 years of age, entered a Broward County high school, and this was just two Wednesdays ago, and he killed 17 people, okay, and sent students running all over the place for their lives, all right? Many students were hiding in closets, hiding in different buildings, trying to see if they could, make themselves safe, contacting their parents, and they were afraid to be able to even step away from the hiding areas until, you know, the all clear had been sounded. This is pretty bad. Many of these victims were very, very young. They have collections and things like that for many of the victims and their families to do fundraisers for, you know, for the deaths of these students. And this is a really bad situation. I have a variety of different questions. And my first question I want to ask to any of you out there, you don't have to give your name. You don't have to give anything. I just am floored by this information. And I just got to ask a question. Can anyone tell me, what is going on in our schools? All right. People are asking, why is this happening? Have you noticed that there's been an increase in violence in the schools? We need to figure out what in the world is going on. Can anyone share what your ideas are, what people are saying? Why is this happening? I mean, why are these kids doing this? I mean, why would a sane kid, he's young, he's 19, you know he's going to probably go to jail, maybe get the death penalty or things like that for doing something like this. So why in the world would a person do something like that? Any insights at this time? Anyone? Also, I want to remind you, if you do want to give in any inputs of text messages, you can submit them to 865-306-6362. All right? I hear on there's a couple of comments that I'm getting through here that are saying that people are actually I'm hearing that people are submitting and saying that they have they think that this guy was just crazy. This possibly could be the case. Sometimes they do have people that have mental issues that can create problems and things like this. But, you know, this kid went up to the school and shot these other students that were innocent. So why would a person want to attack people who are innocent? And if this was your child, you know, what would some of the things that would be going through your mind while you're watching this on television? Anyone?
Pass the bus, Butler?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd say the first thing that went through my mind is that it seems like nobody was prepared for anything like this because of the fact that it has been such an easygoing place. But mind you, this is one of the states that have a high influx of NRA activities. Everybody is familiar with guns in the state. A lot of money comes through there. And, you know, it's sad to say, but in our society today, are we really ever prepared other than, you know, covering our kids with the blood of Jesus? Because so many things are allowed now. Say that I'm angry. And I could say that, okay, there were laws that were lifted before this incident happened. But, again, it goes back to our legislation. Again, it goes back to where we put our money and our efforts in. And it certainly is not in securing our kids.
Yes, I mean, this is very, very true. And folks don't realize that there are a whole lot of misconceptions that people really haven't taken into account. I mean, one of the things we also have to keep in mind is the fact that, school shootings just in 2018 by themselves are not very rare. It's been happening a lot. It's been happening a lot, all right? When you really look at it, of the reported incidents in the United States compared to the rest of the world, there's a whole lot of school shootings that are happening just in the United States. And so that's going to say that something's wrong or that there's an issue here. Some of the comments I'm getting that are being texted over is that that some of the people think that, you know, that maybe the parents
didn't really teach this kid how to be able to respect other people. You know, the person could just be evil. You know, this guy could just, you know, have an evil streak in him, and most definitely he just chose to go down that path. And also I got an interesting topic about people being bullied. Many times these school shootings are always traced back to people who have some kind of vendetta where people attack them and they felt obligated to retaliate at some point in time where they got disrespected. They tried to talk to the teacher. The teachers ignored it. They didn't have a relationship with their parents, and they felt like they were unheard, and they just couldn't take it anymore and just snapped. What's going on with this bullying situation? What would you guys do? I mean, what would you tell your child if they were being bullied and they feel like it was really getting to them? They didn't feel like they could take it anymore. I mean, how should we address some of these causes? Anyone?
In a day, you know, your parents told you, you know, don't let them hit you. You fight back, this and then the other. But fighting back at this point in time, it's not just fighting back, but they're coming out and killing you. They're using
guns.
Right. They're retaliating, not with the same force that is met. And the bullying situation, when you have representation in the government that utilizes the same tactics that you warn against, how can we then go prosecute bullies in school when you have representation of the hierarchy in our government bullying his own representatives? I mean, what lessons are we teaching our kids? We're putting in office this kind of stuff.
Is it something that's happening in the government? And, you know, you can even look abroad. It seems like rudeness is on the rise, and people who do evil things to retaliate seems like that they're getting appreciated, embraced, and encouraged. It's like people actually pat you on the back when you are rude and curt and disrespectful and blunt, and, you know, when you just lose your mind, turn over the table and just slap a few folks. You know, they give you credit and pat on the back and say, oh, yeah, I like that person, because they don't take no stuff. They just tell it how it is. And people say that they like that. But, you know, this seems like another level of that. It's like no matter how angry you got, there are certain boundaries you still stood within. No matter how angry you were, there's certain things you just wouldn't say to those who took care of you and people who had a respectful authority in your life. You just wouldn't go there. And this seems like, you know, if they were upset with this one person, would they not, you know, want to go back and maybe retaliate against that one person? Why just take it out on the whole school and just start shooting at people at random? You know, that's one of the questions that I have, you know, and this, you know, that question as well is, if this was your kid or your nephew, you know, your grandchild that went into this school and did this, not only, you know, why would he shoot at random, but what would you do? You know, what would you do if you had a nephew that did this? You know, what would be your conversation with this boy?
Well, Pastor, I don't want to monopolize, but I will say this. There were reports that the young man had an argument or a fight with the cousin in the home. There were some indications that there were imbalances. The police were called to the home about this young man. This young man had guns in the home. Again, we go back to parental supervision. Who gives a 19-year-old that can't even afford, that legally cannot even buy cigarettes or alcoholic beverages, the right to buy an assault rifle, let alone just because you have a lock and a key, you could lock it in the home and then say that you saw that he was depressed and imbalanced. And by the way, he shot up the whole school.
Oh, yeah. And that's a problem. I mean, kids have access to weapons, and we keep seeing it happen, where kids in third grade, second grade, accidentally shoot one another. You know, just the other day, they had a 7-year-old kid that was found in the school shot to death, and they're trying to research it to find out what happened. You know, They have kids that watch television and they play dangerous games, you know, Russian roulette and things like that. And kids think it's funny. They do it for the thrill of it. And, you know, everything's fine until somebody dies. And, you know, you realize that it's dangerous. Many people who are around something for a certain amount of time, they get desensitized and think it's okay to put their children around it because they feel comfortable around, you know, the house with weapons just everywhere. And they don't realize that just because you are around it and you told your kid, you know, don't mess with that, doesn't mean that they can handle the temptation of that being there when you're not around, you know. Most parents really are oblivious to really the type of child that their kid is when they are not there. They don't understand the differences, the challenges, the throes that go through a kid's mind. I also got a text message that said, kid learn how to bully someone from seeing it from someone else. Most of the time, it's at home or you know, where they learn it. And that's a problem where we have a bullyish culture and we have this thing where we want to be in charge no matter what, and we want to have our way no matter what, and we want to be spoiled no matter what, and we want to get what we want even if somebody else doesn't care or doesn't agree or it inconvenienced them or hurts them. We don't care just as long as we get what we want. And it seems like it's instinctive because if you take two children, you put one toy there, many times a fight will ensue until one child is able to take the toy and leave the other child crying. You know, they're satisfied because they get to play with their toy. And it seems like there's something wrong, that now there's a lack, as the Bible says, that in the last days, that the hearts of men will wax cold because iniquity will abound. The spirit of iniquity, the word iniquity means lawlessness, and that's in Matthew chapter 24. And lawlessness means that there's going to be an abounding, a lifestyle, a living. The word abound means to live. There's going to be a lifestyle of basically not paying attention to any rules. And whatever rule it is, people want to break it. You know, they, you know, I know that women are not supposed to act like men, you know, so we don't want to portray women on television as feminine anymore. All the women need to be able to prove that they can do anything a man can do. And now men are saying they want to do anything a woman can do. Now they have surgeries that basically say that a man can go get a surgery so he can have the experience of carrying a child in his stomach and things like that. You know, these are things that people are doing nowadays just because, you know, a law says that they can't. And anything that God says, people just want to rebel against it. There is something wrong. We should be careful when it comes down and have a consistency of integrity when it comes to life. So these kids that are going out shooting up schools, a school, an innocent school where, you know, they've got kids that are there, but you're only going to be there temporarily. First of all, high school only lasts 4 years. You're in, you're there 4 years, and you're gone. But many kids don't have the foresight to see, you know, I'm going to put up with whatever nonsense I'm going to go with, and then I don't have to see this place or these people again. If it gets that bad, go to a different school. You don't have to go and shoot the place up, you know.
Right.
And
right.
It seems like there's a lack of thought process. What's going to happen to these people when they're in a situation? Now, I've got another question I want to ask as well. You know, this kid, you know, had to go through this situation, which is really, really bad that he had to go through this. But I just want to give y'all a couple of show y'all how bad this situation is. I'm just going to go down 2018. Okay, check this out. January the 3rd, East Olive Elementary, St. John's, Michigan. A man committed suicide in the parking lot. Okay, January 4th, New Start High in Seattle, Washington. An unidentified shooter fired shots into the building, but there weren't any injuries. January 10th, Grayson College in Denison, Texas. January 10th, Coronado Elementary, Sierra Vista, Arizona. January 10th, California State University, San Bernardino. January 15th, Wiley College, Marshall, Texas. January 20th, Wake Forest University, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. January 22nd, in Italy, Texas. January 22nd, in Gentilly, Louisiana. January 23rd, in Marshall County High, Benton, Kentucky. January 25th, January 26th, January 30th, February 1st, February 5th, February 5th, February 8th, February 14th. This is just 2018. I didn't go to 2017. Just in the last 2 months. Then this is just 18 incidents that occurred with guns being fired inside a school or on the school property. Something is seriously wrong. You know. Now, statistics show that when they had prayer in schools, this was nowhere near the record, close to the record. So do you guys think that perhaps them taking prayer out of schools might have had something to do with, you know, these times coming about that we're in right now?
Exactly.
Anyone?
I was going to allude to that. The prayer they took prayer out of schools, you know, my school is essentially, you know, and I think that kind of started the this downward spiral, you know, because when children, they don't have anyone to turn to, or their guidance is left the home, you know, just that upbringing is key, and it seems to me that parents not being more involved in their schools, in their kids' schools, or upbringing them, or bringing them to God, you know, it kind of created what we see today.
Oh, wow. So, now you mentioned a couple of things. You talked about the home. The home used to be a place where you got some home training. They taught you how to prepare yourself for life, and they helped condition you so that you would be able to fit in with society and contribute something good to it for the benefit of all those in your community, in your city, your state, and your country. And you was talking about the lack of things that children are having in the home. Now, when you look at this young man, there was some clear signs of neglect. There were some clear signs of issues that were regarding him. And also, it's reported that he was part of a white supremacy hate group that also had to do with teaching him how to be able to exact hate in multiple demographics people. And that's a problem, you know, but this kid is 19 years old. Now, many times in the United States, they say, well, once you're 18, you know, you old enough to make your own decisions. It just doesn't matter, and it doesn't this, that, and the other. Is 18 enough to just take all the reins off and just let a kid to do whatever they want to do nowadays? What do you guys think about that?
It's strange how the rules are concerning adulthood, because kids, you know, you can enlist in the army, you can defend your country, but you're not allowed to, you know, to buy alcoholic beverages or certain different things. You're not allowed to, you know, do a couple other things. You know, so you're not allowed to gamble, whatever. So, I mean, the term adult is loosely used. You know, I don't think 18 is really should be considered adult.
And it's weird. Because when you look in the Bible didn't consider a person to be an adult until they was at least 30 years of age. Now, the problem is, you know, when Jesus was born, they lived in what we call the Greco-Roman society. And so many times the Roman culture helped dictate many of the lifestyles. And if you were a woman, you were seen under the protection of your dad or that covering for an extended amount of time, even after 30 years old, until you were married. And so, now this is important because it talks about the fact that Jesus did not even begin his ministry until he was 30 years old. And so many people, discount the lifestyles of people in the Bible times, but they might have been on to something, saying that we need to work together and try to see what we can do to help one another, especially when it comes down to serious decisions, you know, until the person has gotten to a level of maturity there. So biblically, the Bible does point out a couple of areas when it comes down to things like that. And in the Bible, there was a lot of arranged marriages that were going on because the wisdom of those around you had reached a level of trustworthiness where they were able to say, you know what, I can trust this person to be able to help guide me in that area, which is, you know, uniquely alarming that we have gotten to a point now where there's a real, real lack of trust. But, you know, at 18, there's a lot of things you can get into, and there's a lot of things you're not allowed to do. So, I think we need to be careful because just because the law says this doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't mean that your kid is automatically able to understand everything at a certain age. I mean, I know some people in their 40s and their 60s that should not be allowed to be around a gun. I'm just saying. And this kid is just 19, you know. Guns don't kill people. It's people using the gun that's killing people. So we've got to look at this because now our country is in the middle of a gun control battle. You know, should we try to outlaw all the guns? You know, or should we, find another course of action? What were you going to say?
Well, Pastor, I was going to say 18 would have been applicable like back in my day because the parents had the right to train you. They have taken so many parental rights out of the home. You cannot use corporal punishment. You cannot discipline. The kids can go get tattoos. At 16, you could get a parental consent. You have so many kids that have more rights than the parents. And then when something happens or the child goes to jail, then you want to call the parents. And I think it's so upside down. Back in the day when your principal spanked you, your mom spanked you, your auntie, the next door neighbor, you didn't have all this rigmarole. But now, since there are no rights.
It's crazy. I mean, the things that are going on in Afghanistan right now, 2018, there's almost no crime because their belief system, their worship system, their worship style of handling problems is if you do this thing, we exact punishment right there. Yeah, they don't have crime. You do something wrong, they grab you, they drag you into the street, and they announce it for everybody else who is there, and they have a judge and jury right there. And if you do something that's not right, you got to answer for it, and you got to defend yourself right there, right then. And if you can't speak up and give a satisfactory answer, they are going to carry out whatever the rule is right there. It doesn't matter whether you're friend, relative, it doesn't matter. That is their belief system. So when they have that type of style of executive government, then that helped to keep a whole lot of craziness from occurring back in the day because you knew, it was not going to be tolerated. People will do pretty much what they can get away with doing. And if you make people feel like it's okay and that they can do it, guess what? They're going to. So I have to agree with you there. Now, I've got one more question. What about this guy's now, kids that go through, do things like this are normally, they seek the death penalty for people who do this if they live. Sometimes, as a parent, how would you feel if your kid did this, would you try to advocate for temporary insanity and say my kid had to be mentally insane to do something like this? And also, I'd like to know on the other side, what if your kid had gotten shot? How would you feel? How would you advocate for your child in this situation? Anyone? I know that's a hard question, isn't it?
Well, I want to say this, that statistically is normally it's not the black community, like for these mass shootings and stuff. And I don't know why, but if my child was a victim of this, I mean, I would want justice done, you know. So, I mean, not trying to sound biased, but, I mean, if it was the other way around, if my kid was the mass shooter, you know, only he can make a difference, you know, whether my child saves, whether he lives or dies. I mean, it really, I will put it in God's hand.
So you wouldn't seek the death penalty, you know, if the person had killed your child?
No, I wouldn't seek the death penalty, you know.
I'm also getting messages from other people sending in text messages that they are trying not to seek the death penalty because they want pretty much to leave that in God's hands. They want God to deal with them, and they don't think that God wants any person to die, so they're not trying to hand out death. Now, I do want to introduce the fact that the Bible does mention in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, as well as other areas, and in Chronicles, et cetera, that there are certain things that the Bible says if you did this, you were supposed to be put to death. And there are very many people who were stoned to death, including incidents where if a child was proven to be belligerent, disrespectful, non-conforming to any laws whatsoever, to keep that person from passing that on and teaching his children and making generations of evil people, the people were commanded take that child out, announce their actions and their lifestyle to everybody in the city, and all of the people were supposed to stone that child until they were dead. And so this was a common practice in the Old Testament. And so that being said, would this fit within that realm, or are you guys talking about something else, and that's why you would like to try to spare this child's life?
I would say, for me, that there's already a certain type of death that this child is going to experience. And death in itself, where your heart is not beating, your brain is dead, is final. But to endure a day after day knowledge of knowing what you have done, concealed behind bars where you have no rights, no more privileges, is a different type of death. And I think it's befitting of somebody that takes away somebody else's right to live. Because we have to go back and be realistic about it. Yeah, we would, in my heart, I would want to go and do that. I would want to go and kill him. But what makes me any better than him if I go kill him after he comes and kills mine? It just keeps a perpetual cycle. But at some point, we have to show our laws are gregarious enough but substantial enough to make people think twice before they do stuff like this.
I agree. And they had I'm also getting text messages of people saying that when John the Baptist was killed, you know, Jesus didn't go after them and kill them, that he pretty much let God deal with that. Also, I wanted to introduce the fact that Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest evangelists of the entire Bible, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament through inspiration of God. He was very instrumental, in serving God and in spreading Christianity and helping people to live forever in eternity. And he, before he was converted, had a lifestyle of killing people. And he probably killed a lot more than 17 because it was his livelihood to hunt down Christians, to arrest them, because he was a bounty hunter. And he would bring them back to Rome and testify against them about their actions and what they did. And he would have them delivered for treason. And they pretty much were killed for their belief in Jesus Christ. And so by him doing that, he in some ways kind of is like in a similar situation. Now, the difference is if a person is yet alive, they have the opportunity of accepting Christ and changing for the good. But if they have not accepted Christ, you know, they bear the risk of dying, you know, and not accepting Christ and burning in hell. And as Christians, we know that God loves everyone, including this young man. He does not want them to be tortured. So perhaps there may be an opportunity where he may be reached. There are very many situations, and I hope I get a chance to talk about it next week, where a woman's child was actually killed, and she actually reached out to the killer of her child to forgive him and create a relationship where he began to be her surrogate child. And even when he got out of jail for murdering her son, he moved in right next door, and he calls her mom even today. So Christians have a way of sharing the love of Christ in order to bring God glory in any situation, which is extremely powerful and profound. Now, our time is up today. I think we need to continue this in part two because there are so many questions that need to be answered. I want to thank you all for tuning in to the Sunday Drive Talk and for starting this conversation. I'm sure it's going to lead to a whole lot of discussion. So if you would, stay tuned next week, same time, same station, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 12 noon Central Standard Time. And we want to see you on the Sunday Drive Talk, WITA, and we will look forward to meeting you at that time. If you're ever in the Morristown, Tennessee area, come to the Rock of Ages Baptist Church. We are there Sundays and Wednesdays are our corporate meeting times and worship times at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday. We have a Bible study as well as we'll feed the community and we'll feed you. So come on out and be blessed. At 11 o'clock, we have our morning worship, and it's an awesome celebration and Bible study on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, we love you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I'm Dr. Butler, and this has been an awesome rendition of the Sunday Drive Talk. Be blessed and take care.